to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, this is Joanna Penn for the Creative Pen Podcast, and today I'm answering your questions on marketing and promotion. I absolutely love this subject, and it's just quite surprising because a few years ago I knew absolutely nothing about marketing and nothing about book promotion or any of these things. And I started to study it, you know, when I had my own first book and it was just sitting there in the corner and I thought, you know, I need to learn about marketing. So anyway, I have spent a couple of years kind of learning about marketing, done a lot of courses, read a lot of books, and actually now I really enjoy the whole idea of marketing and promotion. So I hope I can share that with you today, because I know a lot of writers just think, oh my God, you know, I don't want to do this. So I'll be answering those questions. So I'll get to those in a minute. And your questions are from the survey I did in December. But of course, you can always email me, joanna@thecreativepen.com, or leave a comment on the blog and I will get to your question. I have about 400 currently, so I'm going to try and get through some today. So hopefully it will help all of you. Okay, first a little update, I guess, on my writing and some other things. I guess I'm trying to be quite open about how my novel's going in the hope that it will help you personally with your writing, and also will keep me honest this year, as I have a goal of finishing my novel. At least, you know, probably second edited draft by Christmas. So I actually taken a step back from the actual writing. I've got 20,905 words on the actual novel, but I've been working through some great ebooks from Holly Lyle, and I'll put those links in the show notes, on plotting and characterization. And I have in front of me some of my little plot cards, so I've started to do those and really trying to learn more about the whole process of fiction writing, because it's something I don't know that much about. So I love to learn, I love to share it with you, so I'll be telling you all about that this year. This weekend I also start the Year of the Novel at the Queensland Writers' Centre, which is here in Brisbane, Australia. It's 5 days over the whole year, so, you know, after a couple of months, and it will help me, I think, with one, learning about writing, and also I get feedback on some pages, and I also aim to meet, you know, and learn a lot from other writers. I do tend to sit on my own a lot and socialise online with people, but not actually in on the physical realm. So this will kind of be my first attempt at that. So it should be really good. I'll tell you about that next time. I've also joined Robert McKee's Storylog site, which is going to be brilliant. It's kind of video based. If you haven't read his book, which is just called Story, and his surname is McKee, M-C-K-E-E, Story is a brilliant book. It's written, I guess, from a screenwriting perspective, but if you want to be, you know, like a master storyteller, then reading books like that are brilliant. He uses movies and, you know, successful movies that have a brilliant story as examples, and, you know, it helps you be very visual and also, I guess, movie orientated in your books. So that's something I've joined. I'm really aiming to learn this year. You know, I've learned about marketing and I've learned about the internet, and I've learned about non-fiction writing. Now I'm going to learn about fiction and share that with you. I'm pretty tired. My day job is massively busy and I'm under a lot of deadlines, so sympathising with all you busy people out there who can't get time to write on their book. I had a goal to get up at 5 in the morning every morning and write. Have I managed that even once? No, I haven't. So yeah, that's proving difficult because I need my sleep. So we all have to balance these things. So yeah, I'm finding that a bit hard too, so sympathising. Also, I have some live events coming up. I really enjoy speaking, so I'd really love to share this information. There are some others which are closed, but the open ones are I have a Brisbane seminar, a one-day seminar on March the 21st. If you are in Australia and you want to come, go to thecreativepen.com/seminar, and there's some information there. It's a one-day sort of hardcore course on writing, publishing, book promotion, all in one day. It's pretty fun. Also, the Bali Writers Retreat, where I'm speaking, is now open for bookings. It's October the 1st to the 6th in Ubud, Bali. And if you've read Eat, Pray, Love by Elizabeth Gilbert, that's where she was living. So it should be a fantastic time. So there's a link on my homepage at thecreativepen.com. You can see the link there for Bali and read all about the wonderful resort and everything we're going to be doing then. So it'd be really cool if some people could join us. I will be talking about how to do podcasts and blogging and all of that type of thing. I'm not teaching creative writing, I should say that, since you're listening to this. I will be teaching what I know, which is, you know, how to actually get a book done. You know, primarily, I guess, for motivation and things like that, as well as all about digital publishing and all about author platform and that type of thing. So have a look at that if you're interested. Okay, so today is all about book marketing, promotion, platform building. It will be just me, but I'm going to throw some promos in for some brilliant people. Merlafsies, I should be writing podcast, which I listen to, and also Pip Ballantyne's novel Digital Magic, which is also brilliant. And if you didn't listen to Chasing the Bard by Pip Ballantyne as well, that's really worth a listen. So, yes, so I'm learning about all this stuff all the time. I love to share it, but please take this session as my opinion and as a starting point and not the final word on the subject. Okay, let's get on with it.
The Fey world is lost. We have spun beyond the reach of the human world, but some chose to stay. Lost magical souls adrift in a world of the future. And yet now, as the darkness approaches, you must rely on orphans we left behind to save your world. Step back into the world of magic and find out what happens when the future and the Fae collide. Digital Magic, sequel to the award-winning Chasing the Bard, begins on November 11th, 2009. Subscribe at digitalmagicnovel.com and prepare for magic.
So our first question comes from Gail in the USA. Where do I start in making myself known as an author? Brilliant question, and you know, pretty core to every one of us. So I think there are three things you need to do. Straight up, you need to decide on your brand and your goals as an author and as a person. You need to start a blog, and you need to get social networking in some fashion. Those are my personal picks for the three things you need to do immediately, and they don't have to take over your whole life, which is also important. So in terms of your brand, I think that's really important. Your brand for your online platform, I guess, is the words, the images, the look and feel of your site. It's what genre you're looking at. So for example, if you are a horror writer like Scott Sigler versus a romance writer, or you know, a spiritual writer, your websites are going to look pretty different. You know, you can have clouds and angels or whatever versus gory bloody stuff. You know, if you have different pictures on your screen, people are going to think different things about you and about your writing. So it's really important to think about brand, about the look and feel of your site, and what you want to be known as an author. So that's really important first up. So have a real think. The other thing to do is search around. You know, modeling is really good. We all model writers we like. So find an author you like and check out what they're doing online. Choose aspects of their sites that you like. Obviously, you know, picking someone like Stephen King is not very useful, because he is already a big author, doesn't need to doesn't need to do this stuff. But and someone like J.K. Rowling, for example, her website I think is appalling. The Harry Potter one, it's really terrible. It's really over-engineered. And I would have a look at you know, what types of things you want to do. So one blog that is really good for, you know, looking at and going, yeah, I get that, is Zen Habits. Leo Babauta there has got several books out of his blog. He got book deals because of his blog. And if you compare Zen Habits to a site like ProBlogger, you'll see incredibly different look and feel. You know, what do you like about that? ProBlogger, Darren Rouse, also has a book deal out of his blog. Also have a look at other authors, you know, specific authors in your genre for fiction, and see how they do it. So many fiction authors create brands around their them personally, I guess, their personality. Who am I thinking of? So John Scalzi is one, Neil Gaiman, you know, people who actually blog about their lives and about them as an author. So have a look at them, have a look at the look and feel. So that's important, and also your brand needs to be sustainable and long term. So it's not just about your latest book. So in terms of making yourself known, this is going to take some time. You've really got to be patient in terms of how long this is going to take. So it needs to be sustainable. For example, if you're going to write, as I did, I wrote my first book, How to Enjoy Your Job. I started a website, howtoenjoyyourjob.com, was building up that brand, and that's still there. But if you look at it, you'll see I don't post there often. It's not what I love. And then I started The Creative Pen as a brand more about myself, and that will continue when I write fiction and you know, sell those books as well. So I couldn't sustain How to Enjoy Your Job because it didn't go past one book. So that's a mistake I made. So the next thing, yeah, so three things there: decide on your brand, two, start a blog, and I'll talk about that in a minute, why you should do that. So you can, if you just want to start and for free and you want to try it out, just get a free blog at WordPress.com or one of those other sites, Blogger.com, and just get on with starting. You know, just start somewhere, and as you build up content, you can then sort out the rest of it. And social networking. So choose a platform. I personally like Twitter a lot. So Twitter's my main one. Facebook, obviously, these places you need to be at least, but you know, choose a social networking platform and go with it. So why these three things? Well, to me, they're the basics of an online platform. And in terms of making yourself known as an author globally, that's a really good way to start. If you master those, they might be all you need, but you can also branch out. So for example, add a podcast or another social network or a forum or a community or other things out of that site. So hopefully that gives you an answer, Gail. A subsequent question on, I guess, branding is, would having a logo or visual image be important as a method for branding, from a listener in the US? Personally, I think you need some kind of image on your site, because the just plain free sites with no images are, you know, not very attractive, and you don't feel like staying. So I also recommend you use a picture of yourself. We all hate pictures of ourselves, don't worry. But it's not about, you know, whether, it's about connection. People connect with faces, okay? So you need a picture of your face, even if you don't like it very much. And you'll be surprised, people judge you, but they're not, you know, people don't expect authors to be movie stars. You know, you don't need to look like that. Having said that, my photo on my website, and that I use everywhere, is a wedding photo. It's about the only time in my life I've had professional hair and makeup. So I basically use that picture everywhere. Sitting here right now, I don't look like that. But hey, you know, it is me, so, you know, that's important. I also got a logo done mainly for my business cards, because the Creative Pen is also a business. I speak and do other things. So I got a logo done. It cost me around $300 Aussie, which is probably around $200 US. And I just got a freelancer to do that. So, but you don't need to do that. You can just start with a photo of you, a photo of your books, or something easy. You can also use a service like istockphoto.com. You can also use Flickr.com Creative Commons. Go to the extended search and click on the Creative Commons box for non-commercial usage, so you can't sell them or anything, but you can use them on your site. So decide on your branding, and then target your reader and your market through images on your site. Images are incredibly important online. Text is brilliant for search, and people want text, and if they subscribe to your blog, then they'll get text. But if they don't, the first thing people are going to arrive at your site is make a choice. Do I stay or go? So have a picture of yourself and connect with people, and work on a brand and a logo later on. Okay. Is it necessary to have your own blog as an author? And if so, how do you create one? Meaning, what should be the main focus or topic of your blog? From Jen, again in the USA. I personally think that yes, you should have your own blog as an author, and you are the brand, not the book, which is, you know, what I said before. And that means you can open up your platform to whatever you're interested in. Basically, if people like you and feel that they know you, they are more likely to read your books. They're more likely to give you a chance and buy your books, and they're more likely to get to know you that way. If you don't have a blog, you can have other things, so Facebook platform, you know, whatever else like that. But think about when people, okay, well, Google yourself. And see what happens. So when I Google myself, the number one thing for Joanna Penn is the Creative Penn website, which is brilliant because that means I'm in control of what people see about me. If you Google your name and you're not in control of what comes up, so for example their third party articles or whatever, then other people control what people see of you. So, and I guess, you know, if you're a new author and you're going to send a press release, you're going to send query letter, whatever you're going to do, people Google you now. People want to know what you're doing. So you need to be in control of what is on the internet for you. So actually, I mean, it's interesting, Googling myself, I basically, my website, then Facebook, then LinkedIn, Smashwords, Amazon, DocStock, you know, these are all sites that I have submitted my own stuff to. So you don't have to have a blog, but at least do those other things. Big name authors don't need a blog because, you know, they have book deals and readers and stuff, but new writers do. Big name authors also like blogging sometimes. Again, I mentioned Neil Gaiman. He's huge, but he also blogs and is on Twitter. In terms of how do you create a blog, you can get a free blog at wordpress.com. But I recommend a hosted blog using wordpress.org, and I'll refer you to the blogging interview I did with Joel Williams last year, which I'll include a link to, in order to actually, you know, go through all of that. You can also contact Joel directly at www.blogs4authors.com, blogs4authors.com, and Joel can help you set one up. There are other platforms other than blogs, but the, you know, WordPress is free software. It's easy to use. It's entirely changeable, and it's got built-in search engine optimization, something like that. So yes, I really do think you need a blog as an author. Okay, how can we promote fiction books online and in person effectively, especially teen or children's fiction? What are the best giveaways to help promote books, and what are the most effective forms of book promotion? From Cheryl in Canada. There's quite a lot of extra bits in there, but I'll tackle those things. So promoting fiction books, I guess I've pretty much gone over blogging, and basically for fiction books you need to attract an audience, so you need to be talking with other people in that genre blogging world. You can be connecting with reviewers online, and the way to do that is to, you know, if you find a review blog site where the main reviewer is loves sci-fi, for example, then, and you're a sci-fi writer, no point contacting them if you're a romance writer. But so first of all, target people that you want to talk to, even if they're journalists or whatever. Find out about them, Google them, connect with, you know, start following them on Twitter, subscribe to their blog, get to know them and their site. None of this scatter approach. I think that's probably my main overwhelming feeling, is scatter approach doesn't work. You need to be targeted in all of this. So find your person, your reviewer, and get to know them before pitching. And when you pitch, pitch properly. So that's one thing, I guess, to get to know reviewers and other bloggers. Teens and kids are not my personal market. I don't have kids either. So you might actually want to be looking at where your market is and how they interact online. So, for example, my sister, who's 10 years younger than me, she's still on MySpace. Now, I don't use MySpace. I use Facebook and Twitter. She doesn't use Twitter. So that's a slightly different demographic. Facebook is growing in the 50-plus women age group. So if you've got a craft blog or, you know, some other things, a career change or travel, or, you know, you might find that's a better area. On Twitter, there's a very powerful group called Twitter Mums, Mums as in American spelling with M-O-M-S. If you're targeting kids, you obviously want to target their mums. So, you know, have a look at where the mums are hanging out. So really decide on the demographic of your target market. Find out where they're hanging out. If you've got teens, find out where your teens hang out. I really don't know that. You know, see what they're up to. There's probably review sites and that type of thing, or, you know, find out where they hang out on social networks. Okay, what are the best giveaways for your book? Okay, so the best giveaways. First of all, Cory Doctorow gives away all his ebooks for free. So he actually gives everything away for free. If you don't feel you can do that, then you might try free chapters, short stories, anything so that you're not unknown to the reader. If people are going to take a chance on you, they want to see your work. So, for example, if you've been listening to the podcast, you've been reading my blog, you know a bit about my non-fiction writing. So you may well have bought my ebooks, for example, but you don't know anything about my fiction. So as soon as I've actually written some fiction, I'll be putting out some chapters, maybe the whole book, that type of thing. I actually now give away the whole of How to Enjoy Your Job for free on Scrib.com. So that is, you know, that's important to me. And I've had, you know, I think quite a lot of downloads. Anyway, so give away stuff for free. You can also do blueprints. You can do, so I've got the Author 2.0 blueprint. You can also do workbooks, which are quite good. People like workbooks. For kids, you could do you can do videos, you can do games, you could do screensavers, you can do stuff for mobile phones, you can do an iPhone app. Basically anything so you're not unknown. You don't need to spend money though. Doing an ebook is just, you know, you can just do a PDF. So that's important. The other thing I would say is be on the Kindle. It's free now, it's international publishing. You can publish at dtp.amazon.com. I frequently download samples of books on my Kindle that I have heard of online or I'm interested in by authors I don't know. I can download samples for free, read a bit of it, and then buy it or not. If you're not on the Kindle, I won't find you now, and you know, and I'm very unlikely to buy books by new authors unless I can read stuff from them in advance. So I guess those would be my tips for that question. Thanks, Cheryl. Okay, this one comes from Patrick, also in the USA. Joanna, I have accounts with Twitter, Facebook, Scribd, and 2 blogs. I need to find a way to develop a larger, more focused group of followers. How does one break through mid-level success? Well, lovely of you to ask me, Patrick. I am still a mid-level success person myself. But personally, I think it's about focus. For example, I now focus purely on, well, not purely, okay, 85% of my time I spend on my blog and Twitter, and a tiny bit of time I spend on Facebook, Scrib, other sites, Flickr, etc. But I spend a lot of time every day and weekly and my nights and my weekends on my blog and also on Twitter and reading other people's blogs and that type of thing. So I entirely focus on those areas. I personally think that if you want to break through in one of those areas, you have to put your focus there, because we only have enough time in the day for a certain amount. So you say you've got 2 blogs. I have 2 blogs as well. I have howtoenjoyyourjob.com and thecreativepen.com, but I only really focus on thecreativepen.com. I just can't sustain 2 blogs with everything else that's going on and try and write fiction and other things. So I also really stopped using, you know, Facebook. I went bankrupt on Facebook and got rid of a whole load of friends, and because I just couldn't cope with the amount of stuff going on. So I really, Twitter is like my number one social network, and the blog is my really big thing. So yeah, choose what you want. I choose one of your blogs to really focus on, and maybe choose out of Twitter and Facebook. Scribd I do use as well, but I just put articles and my e-zine on there. So I hope that answers your question. I guess someone like Gary Vaynerchuk, who's broken through, has been a long time in those markets. He chose video blogging and he chose Twitter, and he's been huge in those areas and got his 10-book deal with HarperCollins because of it. So I personally am never going to have a video blog. I do some video, but, you know, choose what you love, choose what you're interested in, and crush it, as Gary Vee would say. Like, for example, podcasting. I like podcasting, but I'm not a huge podcaster versus someone like JC Hutchins. So basically, choose your area and just go do it. Okay, next one is from Lillian in Singapore. Without much funds at one's disposal, what are some of the effective ways to promote one's self-published ebook or novel? That's a great question, Lillian. And what I would say is none of the stuff I've been talking about will cost you any money, unless you need to, for example, learn about how you can do it most effectively. I think money is well spent on learning how to do things. So, for example, I did Yaristarik's blogging, you know, course to learn how to be a better blogger, and it's really helped me. My rankings have gone up really well. So I would say spend money on learning about how to do things properly. But you can start a blog with no money. It's free to have a blog at WordPress.com. Social networking is free. Facebook, Twitter, all these sites are free. Podcasting is free. Just takes your time. All of this stuff takes your time. article writing is free. Giving away your info is free. Publishing an ebook on Smashwords is free. Putting your book on Amazon is free. You can also publish a book in print for, you know, almost free, pretty much, on Lulu or CreateSpace. So basically, everything can be free. What takes the time, will all take time, but certainly not money. So you can definitely get away with that. You can also get all the info about all this stuff on websites and blogs. But if you want faster success, then I personally invest in education in all these areas. So I hope that answers your question. Oh, I guess, so personally for me, I've spent money on learning and doing courses, but I haven't spent the money on actual promotion. I hope that helps. Okay. How can an unpublished writer generate a following that would impress traditional publishers? And what would that following look like? From Marie Anne in the USA. Okay, so how big a following? I mean, first of all, using Harper Studio as an example, Harper Studio is a, I guess, an imprint of HarperCollins. They're picking up bloggers who have massive, you know, blog platforms. So that's where Gary Vaynerchuk got his 10-book deal, 7 figures. So, you know, lots of money involved with that one. They've also recently picked up a number of other bloggers. So how big a following? Well, it's a hard one, because if you have, say, 3,000 people signed up to your list, but none of them ever interact with you and none of them ever buy your stuff, no one ever reads your things, then 3,000 is useless. If you have 50,000 list and none of them talk to you, then that's useless too. If you have a list of 500 people who love you and want everything you do, then that's really great. I think you need stats about your website, about your traffic. You need to have some of these things going. I mean, you have to at least have a website, a web presence, be on one of these social networks. You know, whether it is Facebook or Twitter or whatever, it doesn't really matter. If you have a podcast where people are downloading your stuff, then brilliant. I don't think there's a specific number. I think it depends on genre and niche. So, for example, if you're sci-fi romance writer, you know, you might only have a small niche, and that the number of followers there might be smaller than if you're just writing a mainstream thriller, basically. I would say demonstrating relationships is really important. So how many guest posts have you done on other people's blogs? How many interviews are you speaking? That type of thing is really good, really important. The other thing I would say is it takes time. You're not going to be able to impress publishers with a platform that is 2 weeks old or even 6 months old. I think it takes time. Someone like Gary Vaynerchuk, I think it took him 4 years of building his video blog. 2 to 4 years, I think it was, before he got success. Some of the bloggers who are now getting book deals have been blogging for 4 to 5 years since blogging was actually happening. So anyway, it takes time. There is no specific number, I guess, but just get started, focus on real relationships and real people, and basically in time it's going to happen for you.
Do you like to write? Or have you always wanted to write, but decided that your job, your house, your family, your pets, your political affiliations, your volunteer work, your hobbies, your church, and that ache in your pinky you get on days ending in Y slow you down? Many professional writers have families. Many professional writers keep their day job. Many professional writers live their lives just like we do. Only they write, too. Like you should be doing. I Should Be Writing is the award-winning podcast that explores issues wannabe writers come up against every day. Everything from characterization to just the difficulty in getting on a writing schedule. And because I, your host, am a writer who's still learning, we do a rundown of my progress as well. This is not a do-as-I-say, not-as-I-do type of show. I'm there in the trenches with you. Visit ishouldbewriting.com to subscribe to this free podcast and download past episodes. Because you should be writing.
Okay, next question comes from Beth, also in the USA. How do you know if you have a market for your book? A great question. I will point you at the podcast I did with Debbie Jenkins at the end of last year, which was about the wealthy author. And primarily, I guess, she does talk about how do you find if you have a market and tips on research and that. But I guess the upshot of it is there a hungry crowd for this type of book? Are there magazines on it? Are there forums? Are there other books on the subject? Are there blogs? Are people making money here? If you're writing fiction, then, you know, obviously there's a market for paranormal romance or adventure books, but there's also markets for all kinds of things that you might not realize. So if you've got an idea for something, just go browsing online, go to Google blog search and see who's blogging on this stuff, who's doing reviews on this stuff. You know, many people don't like to write for the market, but sometimes it's good, especially with nonfiction. If you want to make money, you need to have a market. So yeah, really do your research. You can also do a couple of other things. I mean, that doesn't cost you any money, that first bit. You can also do, say, a Facebook advert to drive traffic to some kind of page or a free chapter or a free report. Do you get a good response to that free thing? And is it enough to be able to make money if you actually have a book on it? Facebook advertising is cheaper than Google AdWords, so I recommend that instead of Google AdWords. However, Google AdWords does actually have a search tool to see the kind of words people are using to search for online. So, for example, you want to write a book on surviving breast cancer. So you go online and see how many people are searching for that, and then go and research with those keywords what other people are doing. So yeah, pretty interesting there. The other thing is, I guess, is you could do an ebook instead of a full print book and see if you actually get traffic and sales of the ebook before you spend the time and money kind of doing a whole print book. So I hope that's enough to start with, but definitely listen to that podcast with Debbie Jenkins. Oh, great question here from Helen from Canada. How do you market yourself without seeming arrogant? That's brilliant, because many people have this problem, and you know, many writers sort of sit at home and we're quite shy people. And marketing seems quite arrogant. Now, there's the way to think about that, or the way I like to think about it, is people want to read, people want to learn. They want your product, they want your book, but they just don't know about you yet. So you have to get your book in front of the people who most want to hear about it. There's no need to push, but you need to be there. So you need to be offering yourself and be available to those people. If you don't do any marketing, they're never going to hear of you, but that doesn't mean you need to be arrogant or over the top or anything like that. So my personal opinion on this is that you need to be useful. People will come to your site and look at your stuff and then get to know you and buy things if you're useful to them. So, for example, this podcast is free, my website's free, and I have a $5 ebook that you might be interested in. It doesn't pay the mortgage, but you know, it's a start. And as I write more books, there'll be more products there. So I think if you offer a lot of free information and don't like sell by selling, like buy my book, sell with relationships. So for example, on Twitter, I totally ignore people who message me and go, "Hi Joanna, read my book here." well, why would I? That's not the thing. If you approach me personally and say, you know, I really like this post, then I'm going to click on your profile and have a look at you. So it's more of marketing without pushing. So ask questions about other people. People will reciprocate. People are interested in people who are interested in them, if you get what I mean. So expect this to take some time. You know, if you buy an email list from somewhere and send emails to everybody, that's one way of selling. But that is the old way. Now it's very much around permission marketing, which is from Seth Godin, who's a real guru on this stuff, and also relationships, so social media, podcasts, this type of thing, blogging. People want to get to know you. So you don't need to be arrogant. Just put yourself out there and be interested in people and start creating relationships, and you will be marketing yourself. Just be yourself. You are unique. Okay, how to put together a marketing and promotion plan for your book, and when should you start promoting your book? So again, I'm going to refer you to a podcast I did with Dana Lynn Smith, the Savvy Book Marketer, last year, and there's a free marketing plan on the site, so I'll put the links in the show notes. And when should you start promoting your book? You need to start promoting when you have enough information on what you're going to do that you can actually start. So you don't need to have even started writing yet. You can start a blog on, whatever you like. Growing organic tomatoes, for example, and then eventually write a book on organic tomatoes and you'll have an audience. Or if you want to start writing your own blog about you personally, so for example, Alexis Grant, who's a travel writer who came on the podcast last year, she's writing her first travel memoir. She started a blog called Aspiring Author, where she, you know, just blogs stuff, and basically people are now interested in her book when it comes out because she's out there doing it. So you can start promoting your book well before it's written and well before you have anything to sell. In fact, that's the very recommended version. It's not recommended to do it the way I did it with my first book, which was, oh, look, here's my book. It's now ready and there's no one to buy it. So basically, you need to get the audience, get the platform going before your book is ready. So yeah, check out the podcast with Dana Lynn Smith and the free marketing plan, which I'll link to. It's a bit old now. I would include social media on that. I should redo that. It's on the list. Okay, next question. What is the best way to draw traffic to my site? From Delise in Australia. Thanks, Delise. Well, as I've said, I mean, a blog is really important. A blog is also brilliant for search engine traffic, because if you update it regularly, which you should do with a blog, then the search engines come back and you get search traffic for keywords on your site. So people end up on your site if you, you know, I write about writing a lot and marketing and stuff. People end up on my site when they're searching for that on Google, but it's taken about a year to actually get to that point. So first up, blog and have good search engine optimization, which you can get if you use WordPress, for example, just with a plugin. For all those technical details, again, see that interview with Joel Williams last year. Then, so I like to think of that as a hub. You need a hub online, that's your site. Search engine traffic is one way. Networking with other bloggers, people in your niche, for example, interviewing them is really good. I personally like podcasts, but you can do videos, you can do text interviews. Many people, if you interview them, will actually link to you, so that's really handy. You can also do guest posts on other similar sites. There's no point guest posting on sites that are, you know, for example, Alan Baxter is a, you know, online friend. He has a dark fiction site, alanbaxteronline.com. He writes dark fiction. There's no point if you're a romance writer doing a guest post on Alan's blog, because that's not his audience. So you need to pick people in your niche and do guest posts for them. Give is my big thing. So have free stuff on your site that you give away that people are interested in, and also to actually bring people to that free stuff, do things like social networking. So you know, for me, I'm on Twitter. I try and give useful links, and then hidden in there occasionally are my own articles. So mostly I tweet other people's links, but I also tweet my own links in there, not enough to be spam. You can also post your information on other sites like scrib.com, other article sites, anything where you're out elsewhere on the web and you're referring back to your own site. So it's like the spokes on the wheel of a bike. Your web is the, your blog is the hub at the middle, and you've got all these things linking back, and the more you do that over time, the more traffic you're going to get. Again, with all of these things, it takes time. My site's been going now just over a year, and really seriously, right at the beginning, for the first 6 months, I had no traffic, no listeners, no nothing. But then it really kind of took off. So I think time in the market's really important, and that's true for anything, for writing. But think, you know, we've got our whole lives in front of us. So whatever age you are, you've got the rest of your life in front of you to do this stuff. This is not a retirement, you know, thing. Okay. Next question. I primarily write fiction, have a great idea for a non-fiction book which targets my current audience on my blog. Is it a good idea to create a teaser ebook while I work on my book proposal? Absolutely. Oh, this is from Gina in the USA. Absolutely, a teaser ebook or a workbook for free is a really good way of getting the email addresses of people who might be interested in buying your book or your product. So definitely do a teaser ebook, and again, that could just be chapters, it could be a workbook, that type of thing. In terms of, oh, Gina also asked about some resources for book proposals for nonfiction. I read quite a good book in the Author 101 series called Best Selling Book Proposals. They also have Best Selling Nonfiction on my bookshelf here. And I'll also include a couple of links. Most literary agencies have information on book proposals, so just check those out. And obviously nonfiction, very different to fiction. Right, we're running out of time, but I have a couple more questions. This is a big one from Lost in the USA. How do you effectively manage your time so Twitter doesn't start taking over your entire day? I presume you're asking because I seem to be always on Twitter. Well, I have a few tips for Twitter. I use a couple of tools, which mean I don't have to hang out on Twitter 24 hours a day. First of all is the site socialoomph.com, which is a terrible name. It used to be called tweetlater.com. It's free. I schedule my tweets in advance. So basically, at the weekend, I probably spend an hour and a half scheduling the whole week. And at the same time, I read all the blogs and I put all those links on. That keeps my followers interested. I also spend that time getting up to date on the industry, so it helps me as well. If you're interested in my backlist of Twitter, I'm on Friend Feed as well as Joanna Penn, and you can see how I use Twitter. Then I schedule pretty much every 3 hours, 24 hours a day, so I hit all time zones. I have tweets going out that I schedule on Social Oomph. Then during the week, I have an iPhone and I use the Tweety app. Which, and seriously, the iPhone has really helped me. Having a day job and being able to use the iPhone to check my personal email, do my comments on the blog, and also do Twitter, it's really useful. iPhone, definite business tool, definitely tax deductible. anyway, so on the iPhone, on Tweety, I check in during my breaks, coffee breaks sometimes, check out my replies, and, you know, do some personal relationship stuff. I probably do spend maybe 30 minutes max doing that. Then I also hang out on TweetDeck when I'm at my desk. So right now I'm on TweetDeck, and I just kind of pop in occasionally. I hang out also for things like Thriller Chat on Sundays. It's a hashtag, Thriller Chat, which is Sundays for me, Saturday night US. And also sometimes when I'm just at my desk and I want to chat. So I wrote a blog post on alcohol the other week, and I put something out on Twitter while I was doing it, and that really helped my post. So otherwise I turn it off. Otherwise you never get anything done, as you know. So basically, but and also Twitter for me is my number one social network, so I do spend more time there than anywhere else. If you're not on Twitter, I am at The Creative Pen, and yeah, say hi. Okay. One reader in Australia has asked, what programs do you recommend for submitting articles to multiple sites at once? Okay, I had a quick look. I personally can't find anything on submitting to multiple article directories. I have used article directories before, primarily for nonfiction, for my How to Enjoy Your Job book. I basically picked the highest ranking ones and personally added them. So I used ezinearticles.com and ArticlesBase and some other ones. I also like Scribd.com and DocStock.com for putting PDFs on. They get really good search rankings. You can, if you are doing articles as blog posts, which I highly recommend you do, you can use a site called ping.fm to take your stuff to multiple social media sites, for example a link to it. You can also set up Facebook and Twitter and everything to automatically post when you do a new blog. That's using various plugins, and if you go to Facebook you can find that quite easily. So sorry, I really don't know something that you can submit articles to multiple sites, but thanks for your question. Next one, from C in the USA. Cold calling, is it necessary or can an effective email marketing plan suffice? What about a combination? Should your email marketing contain the same message if you got a hot prospect on the phone during a cold call? This is an interesting question. I personally hate cold calling. I can't think of anything worse. I really hate it. I get nervous on the phone. I don't like that. I like in person or I like online. But if you want a cold call, go ahead. But I would question, who are you calling and why? Are you calling a journalist? In which case, you should know who you're calling and why you're calling them. And if you are selling something like your book, then maybe it's a bookshop or something like that. I guess I need to know why you're cold calling. But I would really say that the things are changing in the marketing world. Most effective marketing these days is about permission marketing, relationship marketing. People have to allow you to contact them, all the anti-spam stuff. So if you sign up for one of my free things on my site, you'll get a response email that says, did you really sign up for this? Please click this link to confirm. And that's my email system, which basically says, we're not going to let Joe upload a whole load of email addresses from a random list. People actually have to subscribe. They have to decide. So for me, effective email, effective relationship marketing is all about people giving permission. Cold calling, there's no permission involved. So it's a personal thing for me that I wouldn't do it. But if you're, if you want to do that, go ahead. But it's certainly not necessary. Okay, the next question is on video book trailers from Jody in Jamaica. Hi Jody, I'd love to come to Jamaica. What are the best and cheapest ways to create a video book trailer for online video marketing to multiple video sites? Okay, so book trailers, nothing really proven as to whether they work or not, but certainly they are interesting. You can do a cheap one for free using Windows Movie Maker on the PC, and I think it's iMovie on the Mac. I will link to my book trailer post, but literally you can just do it with images and sounds that you get from the internet, and it can cost you under $10 basically, so that's not really a big deal. I'll link to that post. If you want to do like a hardcore better video book trailer with moving stuff and other interesting things, then I would recommend you look at a site by Gideon Shalwick, which is called getyourvideoonline.com. Beware, there is a streaming video that starts when you get to the site, so don't look at it at work. It includes how to make videos, how to get them online, not specifically for book trailers, but if you're into video marketing, that type of thing, then Gideon Shalwick's really good to look at. Read multiple sites. You can use a site called TubeMogul, TubeMogul.com, to send to multiple video sites. Obviously, you want YouTube, but there are many more other video sites. So if you get a logon at TubeMogul.com, you can put in all the logons, and then when you create a video, it sends them out to all the sites. So it's really, really good. But yeah, check out Gideon Shalwick at GetYourVideoOnline.com, and I'll link to that book trailer post. In terms of book trailers, you literally can do your, you know, you talking about it or reading it, through to images with music, through to full-on hardcore good stuff. I'll link to Leviathan by Scott Westerfeld, which is a really good book trailer, but very technical and not something you could do yourself, but it's a really good example. Okay, final question, I think. Yeah, on book, on press releases. Lots of people have asked about press releases, and I have mixed feelings on press releases. When I published my book, How to Enjoy Your Job, I decided I wanted to do press releases. I wanted to get press. I did a press release which was top 10 New Year's resolutions around career change and sent it at Christmas in a quiet news period to 10 targeted media, and subsequently got a local story and basically ended up on a TV station, National Australia, like a 60 Minutes style site, and I got interviewed on a story about the world's best job, which was the Barrier Reef one that you might well have seen because it went all over the world. The key points here are press releases have to be around a story that the media want to hear about. So my press release got me interest in the press because it was about New Year's resolutions, it was timely, it was at a quiet news time. I got on TV because there was a big story that they needed some stuff on. If you have a book, you can speak, you know, so I just did a brief thing on that on TV. If there wasn't a story, I wouldn't have been on. So the main thing about press releases is it has to be around the story, not just Joanna Penn Press just released this book. That's not a story. The story is either about the topic. If you're non-fiction, you write about the topic. So for me, it was career change, that type of thing. If you've got a fiction book, it should be more about you as a person. So about your backstory, or, you know, about the genre, about changes in your industry, about that type of thing. So you can still do press releases for fiction, but it still needs to focus on the story. That is kind of number one. The other thing is targeting the people that you send the press release to. I personally think there is no point in doing a press release and sending it to 800 places with Dear Editor. If you do one and send it to 5 targeted magazines or journalists specifically by name and say, "Hi, whoever, I really enjoyed your piece on the fiction market for science fiction or whatever. I've got this book. Here's my press release, and I'd look forward to hearing from you. Let me know if I can help in any other way." So really, really target people. If you target people, you will be much more successful. So about a story and target it. And what else? You can also, attraction, that was the other thing. Attract journalists. There was a study done, something like 90% of journalists, when they're given a story, Google stuff. Like all of us, we all Google stuff, right? So if you have a blog and you rank highly on your topic, they're more likely to find you. So for example, a journalist from the Washington Post emailed me the other week and said, "Hi, I found you about, you know, writing about digital publishing. I found you online. Would you comment?" I actually pointed them in the direction of a whole load of American people because I don't think she realized I wasn't in America. But, that's an example of being found, attraction, and I like that much better. I much prefer pulling people in than pushing my message out, but that's, you know, it's up to you. There is a site, Help a Reporter Out, Harrow. I'll put the link there, or you can just Google Harrow. Basically, every day you can get emails with what journalists are looking for. It's a really good list to subscribe to. It's free, and you can just respond to them. You can also go on Twitter, find journalists, use wefollow.com or search.twitter.com. Find journalists in your niche that you want to know, target them, get to know them indirectly, and offer to help. What else? Yes, so around press releases, it costs you quite a lot of money to get a publicist. If you have the budget, go ahead. If you don't, you can write your own. There's plenty of resources out there. The best resource I've found is publicityhound.com. Joan Stewart, she's excellent, and lots of info there. I'll put the link on the show notes. You can also target, put press releases online yourself at sites like prweb.com. you know, but really, I guess the main thing is, what are you trying to achieve? And are you spending your time in the most effective manner? I gave up on press releases. I decided it wasn't a great use of my time to do press releases, and I don't have the budget for a publicist. So I pretty much focus on writing good blog posts as opposed to writing press releases. So what are you trying to achieve? Is this a good way to achieve it? Do you want long-term search? Put stuff online. Old media versus new media. Is it better to pitch a blogger? You know, pitch a big blogger that instead of a journalist, and you'll get a lot more web traffic than you would from a press clipping. But hey, you know, everyone has their thing, so go for it if you want to, but use those resources to do it properly. Otherwise, you end up getting really depressed when nobody responds to your press release. Okay, that's it. I'm done. That was probably too long, but there you go. That's some of the questions I got. Please continue to send me questions, send me any follow-up stuff. That would be great. In terms of, if you want really hardcore information about all these different ways of marketing, I am relaunching my Author 2.0 online course, which is video, audio, you know, lots of information on digital publishing, book marketing, selling your books, making money as an author. 12 modules, including video, making videos, social networking, publishing, article marketing, blogging, ebooks, lots of information. I will be sending information about the Author 2.0 relaunch soon, but you can go to author20.com. That's author, then the number 2, zero.com. /sign-up, and there's you can put your details there, and you'll get advance notice of the relaunch, which will be happening probably in about a month's time. You can also get, if you haven't got it yet, get the Author 2.0 blueprint at author20.com, and that's got loads of more information about building your author platform and that type of thing. Like I said, I love this stuff. So yeah, let me know any more questions. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for your time. And we've got some great podcasts coming up, including Joshua Talent from eBook Architects, talking all about eBook formatting and publishing. We've also got a peak performance coach coming on to talk about how to overcome procrastination. We've just got stacks of stuff coming up. So looking forward to having you back on the podcast soon. Thank you. Have a great writing week. Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales, and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time.